Last week we set a challenge of talking to one another and this service and everything, and we said that we would like to see 50 people here as an average attendance by the spring. So we have a lot of work to do, and it's not really that hard because we have a lot that are hit and miss that have missed because of work and different things of that nature. But we can have people here, and we can do that. So invite people to come. Invite them to come and be a part of this, the service, be a part of the church. Be a part of the Lord's will. So that's a challenge that we've got. 50, I think it's a very reachable goal because we're almost there. So let me encourage you to invite those to come and be a part. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning we want to look at one scripture verse, and as we look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For his wounds you have been healed." And as we think about that, we want to think this morning on God's Christmas tree. And as we think about that, many of you have bought artificial trees to put up. Many have gone out and cut your trees. Many have gone to the store and just bought a tree and brought it home and decorated it. Now, my mother used to go out and buy a tree, and she'd take that tree and she'd set it in the stand, or my dad would. They'd leave it outside for a couple of days to let the limbs just kind of fall out because they had to be in just the right order. To me, it would have made a whole lot of sense if they wanted to lift them up to just take some old fishing twine and pull them up and tie them up and get them anywhere they wanted to. Artificial trees are made out of wire, so you can actually bend them any way you want to. But eventually what happens is they lose their spring in it, and then the things begin to do it. But as we think about that, we also hear this time of the season too, we hear on the news a lot of times where there's been a fire because of what? A shortage on a tree that has caught fire and burnt. It has burnt the tree, it has burnt the presents, maybe even burnt the whole house down, we don't know. But it is that time of the season that we see that goes on. And as we think about that, a lot of Christians would say, well, maybe we shouldn't celebrate Christmas this way anyway. Maybe it's because it's a pagan type setup. Maybe we shouldn't really celebrate Christmas the way we do. Maybe we need to rethink that. But I'd like to take this time to share with you this morning that as we think about this and as we think about the tree and the trees that we have in our house, we can also talk about God's Christmas tree. And we can see that, no, it's not really pagan, but it is God. And as we think about that, we think about the tree that God has. His Christmas tree consists of two beams that were put together in the form of a cross. And that was what Jesus Christ died on, was that tree, wasn't it? And it was a wood, so it was a tree. It was also a gift that was given to us, wasn't it? And as we think about that this morning, as we think about God's Christmas tree, we see that His tree is surrounded by gifts. He has given us gifts, and He's blessed us with so much that we really need to take every day and celebrate His Christmas, shouldn't we? As we think about birthdays, I know that when I was younger, I had birthdays, and as you get older, it's kind of like, it just means another year older, and that means more pains and everything. But when you're younger, what do you anticipate? The birthday cake, and for me, when I was younger, ice cream to go with the cake that Mom was going to make, and all kinds of presents. And I lived on the street where we had a bunch of kids. There were about 25 or 30 kids that lived on that street, so that meant I was going to get about that many gifts. So I was looking forward to birthday, wasn't it? Now, you talking about a day of racking up, that was a day. But as you get older, and as we think about it, and we come to the Christmas season, what do we think about? What are we going to buy this person? What are we going to buy that person? And we're really celebrating the birthday of Jesus. So why don't we, when it's our birthday, give out to everybody else and buy for people instead of people buying for us? Why do we take Christmas time and buy for everybody else instead of buying for Jesus? That's the birthday we're celebrating. So as we think about that, and as we do, I know it sounds a little, you're getting out of what we really do. But why do we worship? Why do we come at Christmas time? What does Christmas mean? And why is Christ in Christmas? As we think of this tree today, I want four things quickly to share with you. The first thing is the gift of salvation. God has given us a gift that nobody else can give. Nobody. My parents would always give and give and give to us. And that's what they lived for, was to give to us and to help us, to love us and to show their love for us. And we see that when we talk about salvation is free, Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And we see that grace means unfavored or unmerited favor. It means simply this: we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's available to us anyhow, even though we don't deserve it. And as we think about this gift, isn't that great? I don't deserve it. Growing up as a child, I used to think when they talked about getting the cold or the switches in the stocking, I was probably going to be one of those that got it, because I was not the perfect little angel growing up. In fact, I was probably the opposite. And aren't we that way today too, when we sin against God? What do we really deserve from God? Paul says we deserve death, doesn't he? We deserve death because of our sins that we commit. But God gives us this unmerited favor, even though we're sinners and even though we're destined for hell. I'm going to give you a gift that will help you out. And this gift is eternal. Salvation in Christ is free, but it's not cheap either, is it? It's not. People think I'm crazy when I look at them and say the easiest thing in the world to do is to accept Jesus Christ. That's easy. You just ask Him into your heart. But the hardest thing to do is to live it, isn't it? The temptations that we see every day, the anger that gets into us. Somebody says something ugly to us, and what do we want to do? We want to get right back in their face, don't we? We want to get even with them. And if somebody hurts us, we want to hurt them. But God says, "I am a God of love, and I want you to love." And how do you love somebody that you know is always stabbing you in the back? Jesus came on this earth knowing He was going to be crucified. And He loved everybody anyway. And that day that He stood before Pilate, He knew what the outcome was. And He loved Pilate. And that day that the soldiers beat Him and made fun of Him and spit on Him, He loved them anyway. And the guy that held his hand out on that cross, and the other one that took that spike and put it on his hand and raised that hammer up and slapped it down on that nail and drove it through his hand, Jesus loved him anyway. Can we do that? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to love people that hate you, dislike you, and try to get even with you. And so we see that as we see it, it is free, but it does cost. And it is hard to be a Christian. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to let our light shine for Him. And so the question is, how do we receive the gift of all gifts without any cost? We can't. It's going to cost us, isn't it? Just as it cost God His Son, Jesus. And we see that this gift that God gave us, it is acquired by faith. And He says in John 1:12, "Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God." Folks, we have the honor of being in the family of God. That is fantastic. Now, there are families today that children have broken marriages. There are people that, "Oh, I hate my parents." I was fortunate. I had a great family. And so I know a little bit of what he's talking about here when he says, "I get to come into the family of God." And when we come into the family of God, it's a family of love, isn't it? Caring. And God is going to bless us tremendously if we will just let Him. And that is what we call for. We see that also, the second thing we see is the gift of justification. Justification is a legal term that we use. It speaks of God's pronouncements that we have been acquitted from sin's penalty. When they go into court and they do all of this and they do the arguments and all of this and they speak to the jury and all that and they come back and they have a split decision, that means that person has been acquitted. Whether they were innocent or not, it doesn't matter. They are acquitted. With us, God has saved us through Jesus Christ in justification. We have been acquitted. We have been determined. We have been, our sins have been wiped clean. God has looked at us and says, I am willing to wipe your sins clean if you'll come to me, if you'll come through Jesus Christ. And so we see the basic for this declaration is not what we have done, but what Christ has done for us. In Romans 3:24, we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And then Paul continues to say in chapter 5, verse 9, since we have been now justified, acquitted by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? My mother used to tell me a little phrase that let me know that I was in deep trouble and that I better straighten up real quick, other than the eye look. And that was simply this: I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. You know, now I can disagree with her because she didn't bring me into this world. God did. And God can take me out of this world, can't He? You know, but when God takes us out of this world, where does He want to take us? Not to hell. That's not where He wants to put us. God wants to take us to heaven to be with Him. He wants to throw His riches out before us and give us everything to spoil us, doesn't He? He wants to spoil us. Do we want to let Him? And so through this, we see that we are saved through justification. We have that gift, and the results will be evidence in our lives. Our lives will change. Now, I hope that you can reflect back on your life as a Christian before you accepted Christ, when you accepted Christ, and where you're at now. And I hope your testimony is not what God did 15 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, but what God is doing in my life right now. And when we can tell people, this is what's going on in my life, this is what God is doing in my life, and we can share that testimony. Not when I hear somebody say, well, I got saved 25 years ago, I'm sitting there going, and God's been on vacation ever since. Because they can't tell you anything else that God has done in their life. They're not growing in Christ, are they? And so we see that He wants to. In James 2:26, He says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is work. God wants us to work for Him. And we will, because when we study God's work, when we praise Him, when we worship Him, it becomes a habit, doesn't it? It becomes a habit. As a child, I used to love to chew gum. Number one, because it was wrong to do it in school. Number two, I couldn't just chew gum adequately. I had to chomp on it. And therefore, if I had a piece of gum in my mouth, everybody knew it. If I went to school with gum in my mouth, I didn't make it through the door hardly before it was said, spit your gum out. And I'm thinking, how did they know? Well, I guess they really knew how I knew when they saw my mouth doing this. There are some people that have gum in their mouth and you never even know they have it in there. I'm not one of those. I'm that way as a Christian. I want people to see Christ in me. I don't want to hide it. I want people to know about it. I want them to see about it. Not that I need to tell them about it, but they should be able to see it in our lives, shouldn't they? And they should know that there is a difference in our lives. And we're not the same as the rest of this world, but we are different. The Jews were always looked upon as peculiar, a different people. They were set apart, weren't they? Even the Egyptians and all of the others, the Babylonians and all of those, had a great respect for the Jews. Even Hitler, to a point. He had such a great respect for them because of what they were and the way they were that he killed them. Because they were devoted. The Romans let the Jews what? Worship in their synagogues. They were not made to worship the other gods. They let them worship Jehovah, Yahweh. Why? Because they were peculiar. They were afraid of them. People should see that we are different from this world, aren't we? We are. Because this world is destined for hell. This world has a different attitude and a different outlook of what success is compared to what God does. And which one are we going to choose? We're in a mixed world today because we want the best of both worlds, don't we? We want to live with everybody in this, but we want God also. And God says, that's not due. If you're going to serve me, if you're going to worship me, then you are going to want to do the deeds too. And people will see your work. Thirdly, we see the peace with God. Peace with God means reconciled to God. It means the barriers have been removed by the person and the work of Christ. How many times have we got people that have barriers built up? Today, one of the best job descriptions you can have, one of the best job securities you can have, is a psychologist or a sociologist. Why? People need counseling all the time. They're messed up. Everything. You got to go counseling for work. You got to go counseling for marriages. You got to go counseling for this and that and everything. And we're always seeing where people need to go counseling. And when I was growing up, I didn't know what that was. Why? The best counselor we can ever have is God, isn't it? When we begin to listen to what God has to say, and when we begin to listen and do what He says, then we can have a peace of mind. Have you ever had a situation where you just didn't know what to do? You didn't know which way to turn? And finally, you go to God. You talk to God about it. And it's like the whole world has been lifted off your shoulders. You're at peace with it. That's what God wants to do. The message of the angels to the shepherds at night. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom His favor rests. We have peace, don't we? We have peace. Our barriers have been dropped. God says, take them. Let me have your baggage. Let me have your sin. Let me have the hang-ups that you've got. These things that you're not sure of. Give it to me and I'll take care of it for you. And we can drop the walls. But on our jobs, what do? We keep walls built up. Sometimes even in families, we build walls, don't we? And we're not honest with one another. Sometimes even as a Christian family, we have walls built up and we're not totally honest with one another. In fact, sometimes we even try to build walls because we're not totally honest with God, are we? I'm guilty of it. There are things that I need to turn over to God sometimes that I think I can do it myself. After all, God, You sent me to school. You sent me to seminary. You had me educated. I think I can think on my own, right? Well, I can. But I still need to seek God's will. And when I turn things over, it will be peace with God. When things get hectic in our lives, we can give it to God and be at ease. And the fourth thing we see this morning is the gift of access of God. Romans 5:2 says, though we, whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We were talking earlier about computers. Smartphones and all these things today that we have. And as older adults, I've learned one of the quickest things to do is to go find a kid and hand it to them and say, fix my phone. Why? Because that kid is going to do a whole lot more with that phone than I can do. And I'll look at them and say, how did you come up with that? Oh, I just... And they're done. I like the touch pads because the old flip phones, you know, you got 1, 2, 3, or A, B, C for 1, C, D, E, F for 2, and you got to remember, do I hit this 3 times before I move on? And as I'm thinking here, it takes me about 10 minutes to do it that way. A kid today can do it in 10 seconds, and they just go, and they're done. And I'm sitting there, how did they do that? I tried to get on the other day to check my annuity out at the annuity board. I thought I knew the password. I'd forgotten it. Do you know if you just miss one letter and your fingers are fat like mine and they hit that wrong key, it doesn't let you in? Aren't you glad you don't have to do all that with God? You don't have to have a password. You don't have to type it in, but we have free access to God. You got to buy cable. You got to buy all this stuff so you get on the internet. You don't have to buy a thing with God. He gives it to us. Isn't that great? We have that accessibility. And aren't you glad that though that, you know, I hate when you're trying to do something and you got to get on the phone and call a company. First thing you got to do is go through what? The computer. I've got one simple question I need to ask, and I've got to spend 5 minutes going through these computers, and finally I just get mad and I just hit zero until finally they say, it doesn't compute, I'll put you towards someone you can talk to. And I thought, that's what I wanted to start with. Folks, you don't have to do that with God. You can just talk to Him anytime, any place, anywhere. Driving down the road, sitting here in church, sitting in the bleacher, standing there freezing your behookies off on the parade when it's cold. You can talk to God anytime you want to. In school, at work, anywhere. And the good thing about it is, God hears you. God knows it. And He doesn't put you on hold and say, wait a minute, you know, you're in the queue and there's 5 people ahead of you. Isn't that great? To know that I can go straight to God anytime I want to. In the medieval days with the priest, they had this little booth and you came in and you did the confessions. And if there was somebody there in front of you, guess what? You had to wait, didn't you, to confess. But with Jesus Christ dying on the cross, God says you've got that free accessibility. It is free. You can come anytime you want to. And when Jesus died on that cross and when He said it was finished, the Old Testament changed because the Holy of Holies, the holy place, which only the high priest could go into once a year, was now open. It said the veil was rent. It was ripped. Now, when we think about ripping something, we think about it coming from top to bottom, but this came from bottom to top. It opened, and it means that now the holy place is open to who? All of us. As Christians. And so we see that we become the holy priest. And that barrier has been removed because of God's Christmas tree, the cross. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Even in times of need, we can have confidence, can't we? Because He says here, let us come to the throne of grace with confidence. How many times do we go to God timidly, ashamed, not sure? But the Scripture says, let us come with confidence. God wants to give us confidence. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, or men, and the name is Jesus Christ. So we have something to come through. And we see that we have a wonderful gift through Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How much clearer can that be for people? Why shouldn't the whole world know about Jesus Christ? Isn't that a very simple statement? I mean, if you could just read John 14:6, if you just read one scripture out of the Bible and read that one, that would tell you about God, wouldn't it? That would tell you the only way to get to God is who? Through Jesus Christ. And how can that be debated? People have debated that. And so, well, you know, we can do works, we can do this, we can do... No, you can't. The scripture says in 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No exceptions, right? Isn't that what he said? Except through me. And so this morning, we know that we can come to the Father through Jesus Christ. We could go on. At Christmas time, a lot of malls will have Christmas trees and have the angel tree up. And at the end of the year, when everybody has finished doing it, there are always some angels left on a tree. And the companies, United Way and different ones, will then take those and make sure they have gifts too. There are times when we have gifts that are left. There are gifts during these fires that get burned up. How many times have we had toys as kids at Christmas time? By the end of the day, the end of the week, they're broke. And later on, they wear out, don't they? Clothes, we wear them out. But the gift that God gives can never be broken, and it never wears out. What a gift. What a gift. Isn't that wonderful? That gift that God gives us. Nothing sadder than a Christmas tree with gifts left unclaimed. But this morning there will be people on Christmas Day that will have gifts that will be unclaimed. There are people that are not accepting Christ yet, and the gift that God has given them is being left under the tree. He loves us, and He wants us to enjoy all that He has for us. He wants to have this and more. As you look at your Christmas tree this year on Christmas Day, I don't want you to see just a beautiful tree with a bunch of beautiful, but I want you to see God's Christmas tree, the cross. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning that you've given us a chance to look at your word and to know that Jesus bore our sins on his body on the tree. And that we have two trees this year, Father. The tree that we look at, the tree that we decorated, and then we have the tree that you decorated with your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we have free life. And the only way to get to you, Father, is through the gift that you have given us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The group is going to come and lead us in our invitational hymn, and after that we'll have communion. So as they come up here this morning, we just want to go ahead and share that this is an invitational time, and we invite you to come this morning. We invite you to come and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite you to come and rededicate your life. Bring whatever baggage you need to turn over to God this morning. We invite you to come do that this morning. We invite you to come and to join this church. So as God is leading us this morning, speaking to us, if He is moving you to do it, we invite you to come, and we will be here to support you in any way that we can. Let us stand and sing.